You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new Signature Wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm. But even then, he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq. Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
In uncertain times, we could use someone to lean on. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma will stand by you with plan options to fit your budget. If you've recently lost your job, had a baby, or moved, you can still get the health care coverage you and your family need. Financial help may be available for those who qualify. Call 855-452-BLUE or visit hereforyouok.com to see if you're eligible to enroll. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Oklahoma, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a Mutual Legal Reserve Company.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
We gotta do something.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do? Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga! Foga!
Foga! Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Foga!
Click, click, boom! I'm coming down on the stereo, hit me on the radio. Click, click, boom!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Hour 2 of Chat Lives Matter Night here live on KLRM Radio. We are America's Podcast Network. I am one half of the normal crew lately, which is me, Mr. Rick Robinson. The other half of the crew for a while, who's been filling in for Dan, who's been on extended leave of absence because the world nearly collapsed and they've been working him to death for like 3 years, is Mr. Dan Wright. He's actually back with us. So, Ordy, I'm going to hand things off to you first and then pass over to Dan and just, how is everybody?
Hi.
Hi.
No, I mean, I actually thought we were on the air with all of our bands when we were, because I had to run away from the computer for a minute. So, while Dan has not been real for the last couple of years, because they have fired up CERN with double the power, nature is healing and Dan is returning to our timeline.
So this could explain something, because in this timeline I own an iPhone. Just saying.
See, not everything is good. Not everything is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Actually, I'm kind of getting used to it. I actually kind of like it. I thought I would hate it.
You're gonna join the whole Mac environment now. You're gonna be one of those people who you're gonna trash your laptop to get one of those little fucking Air Macs, and you're just gonna get all super pretentious, more so. And it's just
Well, you know, until until I get a standing desk, I won't be that pretentious.
Right. Hey, call back to the last show. Awesome.
It happens. But yeah, obviously some of the software I've been looking at for production only works with Mac, but it's like it's awesome because it's like it builds its own little network and we can cross-collaborate.
Is it jacked?
I'll have to find it again. It's been a while since I've even looked at it because I honestly, just being honest, I hate Apple products for the most part. The iPhone is the first one I've ever really messed with for an extended period. And I know, because people have heard me say I'm never going to get one. You know the reason I finally did? My 70-year-old father got an iPhone and had no idea how to use it. And I got tired of trying to teach him when I had no idea either. So it was just easier for me to get one and figure out how to use it, because now I've been able to show him.
Anyway. Okay, that's fair, but... Yeah, all right. Yeah, okay, well, it's funny because I used to be an iPhone guy, and then I think I've told the story before. I was helping some friends move across country, and my iPhone 3 took a shit. So it was right before the iPhone 4 came out, and there were none in stock. And so I was at AT&T, and they're like, well, we just got these Samsung Samsung with 3s in. I'm a fine getting one. I'm leaving tomorrow to go across country. I need a phone. And ever since then, I have become an Android guy.
Alright, so yeah, as promised, Dan is real. He's actually back with us this evening. You know, you can blame CERN, whatever you want to blame, but he's actually here. And no, it's not a deep fake, he's actually here. How you doing, Dan?
Is this thing on?
Maybe.
yeah, coming at you. It's really me coming at you through a galaxy on Hilton Rewards iFi.
Nice.
Yeah. Screw Apple.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to do that. That's just gross. But still.
Also,
yeah, I'm alive. I exist. I do exist.
You're real.
I've come through the absolute catastrophic healthcare. You need to work 80 hours a day. And I'm here after two bouts with COVID, and I'm alive.
Well, just two?
Just two. Shit. Two bouts. Yeah. I had the original and the Omicron. And you know what? I felt like I had a cold. So
yeah.
It was terrible.
I mean, a man cold, but still.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a man cold. So, you know, I laid in bed and complained that I didn't have enough ginger ale and, you know, for a day or so until I was told to get up and fold the laundry and do some dishes because I was off work.
Uh-oh, the memes have started.
So how is everything?
Actually, those were the old memes that were getting dropped again.
Well, you know, we got monkeypox story about now.
Yeah, you know what? That's just the ghost of Harambee's revenge.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to cancel that rave I was going to this weekend out of fear of monkeypox. But well, hey, you know,
at your age, you probably shouldn't be raving anyway. Just
the same.
Oh wait,
did I say the quiet part? I probably shouldn't. At my age, I probably shouldn't turn gay either.
Well, you know. I mean, can you actually turn gay? I mean, I thought that was a you were born or you're not born thing.
It's both.
Okay, just checking. Just checking.
You know, it's a choice. Okay.
According to the left, it's not a choice. You're born that way. Just saying. Anyway.
Well, anyway, happy birthday, Mr. Robinson.
That's right. It is. Yes. Happy birthday. Mr. Producer. Happy
Ordy, that was almost a decently but yet disturbing Marilyn Monroe.
I've been practicing for all of 18 seconds.
And he's standing on top of a fan grate.
That's him.
That explains the noise. Just kidding. Oh.
All right, on that up note. Rick's birthday and everything. What's happening? Because all the headlines really suck at the moment.
I mean, there's absolutely nothing good going on in the country right now. I mean, I can't even think of one positive thing, dude. Nothing. Like normally, you know, even under Obama, I could be like, you know, we still have this, and now it's just like, I can't think of anything.
it's terrible. I mean, I'm sitting here right now. And excuse the cough, my allergies are killing me. So I'm sitting here right now. I'm up here in Virginia. It's about a 4-hour ride from home, and I went to go, and I'm on per diem. So we use Divvy cards, which basically, instead of using company credit cards, we have Divvy cards. So the company just loads our cards, and I went to go fill my van this morning and realized that my $1,300 a month, which we're getting close to the end of the month, was to the point where I was basically able to put a half a tank of gas in my van to get up here. Because I'm spending like $500 a week on fuel in my work truck.
Yeah.
$500 a week.
I'm actually glad I don't have to pay for the fuel I put into my work truck, because with diesel being $6.39 a gallon where I'm at right now at the fleet place where I fill up, I do nearly 30 gallons a day now.
Yeah, that's about, I'm at a tank every day and a half at in a 25 gallon tank.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have to pay for it either, but
I mean, you just watch that and that's like, you know, I watch that little thing spin in the gas dial and I'm like, wow, that's every time that goes by was 3 hours of work when I was 15 years old.
Yeah, and I don't remember a time where I ever had to worry about, okay, I'm traveling, and then I take my company credit card, which really isn't a credit card because the company just loans it, which is smart. My company went to this. We're not paying interest on it. My company got to the point where they got the money, so all of our credit cards are just loaded by the company. But $1,300 a month, which mostly just goes to gas, and I'm out of money before the end of the month to put gas in my van. And figure we've got just in the North Carolina offices, we've got 18 techs. So what do you think the gas bill is every month just for those two offices? And we've got six offices.
See, now you're back in the East where they're talking about diesel shortages. We don't have that out here yet, but the rumors with our company is coming this way. So,
yeah, and luckily, you know, all of our trucks are gas, but still, I mean, I'm in the Southeast, which is pretty much the lowest gas prices in the country, and I'm looking at $4.30 to $4.40 a gallon.
Braggart.
And they're saying it out loud now. I mean, Biden's saying it out loud. This is, you know, this is the adjustment. Everybody's got to get used to it.
It's the new normal.
This is it. I mean, we need to move towards alternative fuel. Well, that's great. But how many gas and diesel power cars are on the road right now? You know, it's, if you don't want to pay this much for gas, just go buy yourself a $50,000 EV. That's all you got to do.
Well, there's actually, okay, I've dropped it for many years now. There's a video, it's a little 5-minute video on the use of lifters, liquid thorium reactors. And one of the things you can do from the heat generated by the reactor itself is that you take carbon from the atmosphere and you split water and you can make a direct diesel replacement that you don't even have to change the gas tanks or you don't have to change the engine. It will burn it like diesel. But to do that, you have to go nuclear, and nuclear is bad because reasons.
Right. I mean, it's probably the most, it's not probably, it's the most efficient fuel on Earth. But we can't look at that because we'll say it's too expensive. Well, I don't buy that. And that, you know,
Okay.
Nuclear is scary.
When you're talking about uranium, that is correct. Thorium reactor. Thorium is a byproduct of any basic mining. If you mine rocks, you're bringing up thorium to get it out of the way. It's you could hold in the palm of your hand all the energy that you would need, not just for, like, you know, powering your house, but like all of the energy used to produce your food, clothing, and everything else that you consume for your entire life. You can hold that in the palm of your hand in a little ball of thorium, and it's everywhere. It's like, yeah. Elvis. It shows up at Piggly Wiggly's.
Nice.
Well, and the other thing is too, you can, if you've got a diesel engine that is set up properly, you can run an army deuce and a half off of vegetable oil.
Yeah. You can.
freaking vegetable oil. I mean, right now, vegetable oil is cheaper than diesel.
Well, that's what a lot of people don't know. If you go back and you look historically, the diesel engine was actually designed to run on wasted cooking oils from restaurants. That's actually what they designed it to do. And then somebody came up with the idea of diesel instead because it was a byproduct of gas and they had nothing to do with it. And honestly, for a while, diesel was dirt cheap because it was something that nobody was really using and it was a byproduct. So they just started doing that instead. So, yeah, I mean, a couple of cranks of a wrench and a couple of changes and anything that's diesel can run on vegetable oil.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, diesel is, they think it's dirty, but it really, diesel is not as dirty as people want to make it out to be. And I had a diesel rabbit in the, like, late 80s. And, I mean, it had, like, 250,000 miles on it, and the thing still got, like, 50 miles to the gallon. And it's not... The exhaust from diesel actually turns around easier than the exhaust from gasoline. But it looks dirty. That's why they don't like it. Because it looks dirty.
Personally, I usually like
dirty, dirty fuel.
I usually like things that look dirty, but oh, that's another story. But anyway, so just in case nobody's heard it yet, I actually have the audio from when President Biden said the quiet part out loud yesterday. So let's give this a listen, just in case nobody's heard it yet. Well, I say I have it. Hang on.
Through an incredible transition that is taking place, that God willing, when it's over, we'll be stronger and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over. This is going to be a haul. This is going to take some time.
Here to discuss. So basically, because I managed to cut off the first part of it, he opens that by saying that, yeah, everything's really hard right now, but we're going through an incredible transition, and hopefully, God willing, by the time we're through the other side of it, we'll be better, and the world will be stronger, and we'll, of course, be less reliant on fossil fuels. Obama said something similar and was caught on tape years ago when he said that he preferred that at some point the nation actually see $5 to $6 per gallon gas prices, but he hoped it was going to be a gradual transition, so it wouldn't be that much of a shock on American pocketbooks, but still drive them towards making the green transition. So yeah, this is not a new game. They've just upped the stakes quite drastically.
Well, yeah. What's a company like mine going to do? We have, you know, in North Carolina, we've got 15, 16, 3/4 ton work trucks on the road. Where's the replacement for those? Where's the replacement? Where am I going to get a truck? If I've got to drive from the Charlotte area up to here where I am in the Richmond area, really, you're going to design a 3/4 ton EV that is going to get me from there to here without me having to stop and charge it for 5 hours? It's not going to happen. It's never going to happen. I mean, well, I won't say never, but not in the near future. Everything this president does kills the economy. Everything. Everything he touches kills the economy. And it's all they have to do is drill. Just drill. We're not ready. Every family can't go out and buy a $50,000 to $100,000 electric vehicle right now. Laura and I just bought a new car a year ago. What are we supposed to just ditch it?
Well, that's just it.
Yeah, we're not going to be underwater on that $30,000 car. We won't be underwater at all.
Let's just say, for the sake of argument, though, that every American family could, you know, all of a sudden go out in the Ford and an EV or an EV hybrid, whatever the case may be. Can you imagine what would happen to the electric infrastructure if suddenly, you know, what? If you do the math, that's, what, 100 million families all plugging in at night?
They said the average neighborhood with the infrastructure we have right now, the average neighborhood can handle 3 to 4 electric vehicles charging every night.
Yeah, and in case you're wondering, folks, most average neighborhoods, you know, they typically have anywhere between 100 to 300 houses. So you're talking about less than 0.1% of the household population. That's what I'm saying. The infrastructure isn't there. That's the part that the Biden administration isn't willing to admit. I don't necessarily have an issue with us transitioning to some other type of platform. But you can't keep forcing 1960s technology in a 2022 world. This is stuff that they've been trying to do since the 60s. It's never taken off. It's never gotten hold. And the truth of it is, by the time you look at the damage to the environment by the time they create the batteries, the damage to the environment to dispose of the batteries, the damage to the environment from everybody having to plug in their vehicles when right now most of our electricity is still created using fossil fuels, it's not going to change or fix anything. The only thing that changes, depending on which party is in power, is where the spigots are pointed that the money come out of. That's it. And the simple fact of the matter is, whether you like it or not, the fossil fuels and all those things, they still work better than the alternatives. Are there things that we should be doing? Yes, like the fact that most of the people don't realize that polyester and everything else is actually made out of petroleum. That's the reason we don't use hemp in this country anymore, because there was a large petroleum lobby that said, hey, we can make clothes and stuff out of this and it'll be cheaper. When in reality, if we were making hemp out of plastic, it would break down. If we were making hemp out of brick, they would stand up better to tornadoes and earthquakes. We could be planting hemp for paper because it grows faster than trees. There are so many things that we really could be doing to fix the environment, and nobody that's in charge is actually trying to fix it. They're just trying to change where the money goes. That's it.
Well, you're absolutely right, and it goes even further than that. It's like, so you've got these developing countries. The cheapest form of energy is fossil fuels. You've got these developing countries. Are you going to go to these developing countries and say, okay, well, you're developing, you're getting there, you're coming up, everything's great, but you need to stop using fossil fuels. So I don't know what you're going to do with your building infrastructure, but I guess you need to go back to like burning dung to heat your houses. It's not going to work. Do you think if you go to India right now and you tell them you can't burn coal, you can't use oil, you can't use any of it, they're going to go F yourself. We have to. Their infrastructure is way behind ours. And to be honest with you, it's way behind China's, but China doesn't give a shit. They're like, we're just going to keep doing it. They're way behind everybody else. They're there. They've lifted themselves up. They're not a third world country anymore. But all these third world countries are trying to get to that point too, and there's no way they can do it. There's no way they can lift themselves out of being third world countries without fossil fuels. There's no way. Because it's the cheapest form of energy. By far. It's never going to happen. And basically, you have these international groups that are all like, well, we need to move to clean energy. And so it's basically saying that all the first world countries need to suffer to compensate for the third world countries that are coming up. We don't. We have the technology to deal with a degree and a half change in global temperature. We have the technology to deal with it. And I'm not saying don't work on technology to stop using fossil fuels. Work on that. But we have what we adapt. That's what we do as human beings.
Well, hang on.
We adapt.
Hang on. Stop right there for a second, because here's the issue. We already have the technology to stop using fossil fuels. Israel has developed an engine that runs on water. They're using it now. The technology already exists. It's not that much different than what Ordy was talking about a second ago. You don't even really have to change that much. Except instead of putting gas in the car, in the gas tank, you're putting water in the gas tank. With the desalinization technology and everything else that we have today, there's no reason we can't be using that kind of technology wholesale at this point. Not only that, but if you go back to what I was talking about a second ago, we could have the environment fixed in 10 years if we just stopped cutting down so many trees for things like paper and started using hemp. Started using hemp to make plastic because it biodegrades. I mean, there are legitimate things that could be fixing the issue, but this is what we keep coming back to. Instead of them actually using the technology that we have, that we know exists to fix the issue, they have us fighting with each other about how we should fix the issue, because if we're fighting with each other about how we should fix the issue, then we're not focusing on the fact that they're not fixing it either. The simple fact of the matter is, government cannot stand obsolescence, because if we get to the point where they have fixed what we're sending them into the government to fix, we don't need them anymore. And that's the truth of it. If our government was actually doing what it was supposed to do, they wouldn't need to be in D.C. year-round, because everything would actually work. That's the one thing that even as a kid, these words always stuck out with me from Ronald Reagan. The scariest words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I'm here to help," because that's not true. Everything they touch, it doesn't matter which side they're on, eventually everything they touch turns to shit. Because the thing about it is, we have a pendulum in this country. So yeah, at some point you have some people in power where the stuff they're doing makes sense, and it actually makes things work better for a little bit, but then somebody starts screaming really, really loud about how terrible it is and how mean and evil they are, and the next thing you know, the other side gets a turn, and they turn everything to shit. You don't believe me? Look at the difference between this country 3 years ago versus today!
Oh, you're absolutely right. And it's a global thing. We're the whole move towards basically global governance is all about control. It's not about actually coming up with real solutions to the problems. The whole goal is control. It's all about control. Everything's about control. Listen to that dumbass John Kerry speak. It's tired, but he's always there. He's always there. And it's always the same thing. And it's always the same thing over and over again. And if you notice, it's always there. We're at the point where we just have global oligarchs now that get together and they talk about how they need to do this and they need to do that and we need to do this and this is how we need to control the world. That's where we're heading. And who we have in office right now is all for that. I mean, to be honest with you, the house plant that's in office right now in this country, he's not all for anything. He doesn't know what he's for. He's just there. He finally got the power position that he's always wanted his entire life, and that's all he cares about. And he's going to say or do whatever they tell him to say or do.
I was going to say he's not the one that wants these things. His handlers do. Ordy, you're pulling at me. You've got really quiet. You still there?
Y'all go, and I mean, you know, Dan hasn't been on the air in like, it's been 84 years, so he's got a lot on his mind. I was just going to, let y'all go. Just roll with it.
Yeah, and I do, and that's exactly how I feel. I mean, Biden is nothing but, this isn't even him. I never liked him, but this isn't him. He was always fairly centrist. He really was. This isn't him. He just finally got to the place he was, and he's like, "Cool, I finally got here."
You're giving him credit of the fact that he is still cognizant of his surroundings.
That's the thing. He's not.
He doesn't care either.
He doesn't care either.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know to care anymore. He's just, they just lead him around with ice cream. Go over here, Joey. There'll be ice cream.
With this whole school shooting in Texas, he made it a whole 148 seconds before he turned it political.
Oh, it's even worse. Have you seen what Obama tweeted out a few hours ago?
Oh, I did not.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that in a second.
He had to make it about the anniversary.
Shut up. Anyway, I thought maybe it might have made it over to Facebook, too. But, yeah, he made it about the anniversary of George Floyd. Yeah, fun time.
Oh, my God. But, are you kidding me?
Nope. Since you can't see it, I'll be nice enough to read it to you and see if your head explodes like mine did. Hang on. As we grieve the children of Uvdale today, we should take time to recognize that 2 years have passed since the murder of George Floyd under the knee of a police officer. His killing stays with us all to this day, especially those who loved him. That was 5 hours ago.
I'm glad to know that he loved a degenerate like that.
Well, remember, George Floyd could have been one of his kids or something. I don't know what. No, that was the other guy. I don't remember, but anyway.
That was Trayvon Martin.
I blocked most of that term for that 8 years from my memory, if I'm being honest. Good Lord. But anyway, so.
Just the fact that this country, or many in this country, celebrate St. George Floyd just says something, because I'm sorry, and I won't even sit there and agree that the tactics that were used to constrain him were good. They were in the freaking training manual for the police department, but neither here nor there. The dude was a piece of shit. He was just a piece of shit.
That's an insult. And now pieces of shit.
He's St. George Floyd. All right, cool.
Yeah,
whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, man.
Whatever. Yeah. I see when it comes to stuff like that, I don't even want to get into schools, but there's a pushback going on, and I think people like the three of us were on the forefront of that a long time ago with stuff going on in this country, but I think there's finally a pushback going on, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, my concern is that it took so much of what we're seeing right now to get us to this point that I think it may be too late. I mean, I'm really starting to worry that we've passed the tipping point in so many ways. Because, I mean, look at it. Gas prices have set a record, like, every day for, like, 2 weeks. And they're still continuing to go up. I just saw an article from Washington State the other day that the local gas stations are starting to run out of gas. So supply and demand is pushing the prices up even higher. And they anticipate if something doesn't change that the gas prices in that area are going to be $10 a gallon before too much longer. I don't know how. We sustain this when, in reality, if you think about it, in the 70s, we decided we were going to be the world's bank. So we became basically a service-based technology, or a service-based economy, where people, you know, we have to have people spend money to be able to make our economy work. If you don't have money to spend, that can't happen. So what happens when all of a sudden nobody can afford to go out to eat anymore, nobody can afford to buy the big-ticket items, and nobody can afford to even buy small-ticket items because we're all basically breaking into the zoo to try to eat animals because we can't find meat anywhere else? I mean, you know, it wasn't too long ago that Al did a parody about this because it was what was going on in Venezuela. And now here we sit just a few short years later, and we're starting to make jokes about becoming the Venezuela of North America, because that's where we're headed, and that's not funny.
Oh, yeah, it's, I mean, I do, you know, with the way our schedule works at home, basically I do the grocery shopping for the house every Sunday. Laura goes to work, we're both off on Saturday, she goes to work on Sunday, I do the grocery shopping. A couple weeks ago, she was off on Sunday. She went grocery shopping with me. She was like, oh, maybe we should do some ribs tonight. She remember, one rack of baby back ribs was like $26.
Yeah, I just did the same thing this week. I went and got some ribs. I'm like, holy shit. Before COVID, pork was the cheapest meat. You could, like, I mean, no meat was really expensive, but it was still like the joke had always been chicken being the cheapest meat. Pork was cheaper than chicken.
Well, I mean, I bought chicken. I just got some chicken breast the other day. Make some dinner. I mean, the same pack of chicken breast that cost me like $9 about 6 months ago was like $16.50.
The pain is the point.
Yeah. And I mean, I get to the point where I like it on Sundays because our local grocery store, they have the quote unquote manager specials. Yeah, this meat's going to expire, you know, is sell by in 2 days. So we're going to mark it down. So I plan my dinners around the sell by manager specials, you know? Okay, so cool. We're cool. These New York strips are half off because I got to use them by tomorrow night. Well, I'm cooking them tonight. Boom. It's not going to get better. And this is a funny story. Y'all will laugh. My stepdaughter decided she was going to clean out our pantry shelves and organize them. I come home from work and I look in the recycle bin and it's full. And I'm like, wow, I just emptied that. Look in there. A bunch of full cans of food. And I'm pulling them out. And all of them are like expiration dates 3 years from now. And I'm like, what the hell? I pull them all out, clean them up, put them back on the shelf. And I ask her, she goes, well, they were dirty. They were dirty? You just threw out like $40 worth of canned food, which you may really need because it was dusty. She was like, yeah, it was dusty. We didn't. Wow, kid, you better wake up.
Well, no.
You better wake up because you're going to be loving the fact that I took that can of freaking creamed corn out of there in about 3 months.
Well, that just proves how affluent we've been in this country, though, if people can look at some of them. I just threw it away because it was dusty. Which brings me to another point I was going to make, because I keep seeing this meme come around, and it reminded me so much of my great-grandma, because when I was a kid, we used to make fun of her, because she would literally, like, rinse off her tinfoil and put it back up. And I saw a meme the other day that says, all y'all about to figure out why I used to reuse all my tinfoil. I was like, oh my god, my great grandmother. Yeah, my great grandmother's talking to me from heaven right now and pointing and laughing at me for making fun of her about doing this when I was a kid.
why your grandma saved all of her tinfoil and tea bags.
Yep.
I mean, but people are waking up, and I like you said, it may be too late, but too late. I mean, if things get real bad, I mean, what's going to happen in this country? People are really going to stand up. It's going to get ugly.
If things get too bad, I'm building a wall around my acreage. Y'all can all be like, nope. This is now my embassy. Get the fuck away.
Yeah, I'm looking for some claymores. Know where I can get some claymores?
We'll talk after the show. I know.
Yeah. First of all, keep your voice down. Second of all, yes.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it. We'll see. Like, well, I know that definitely myself and Ordy are in this boat. I mean, we'll see what happens in November, but I think the three of us, for the most part, have very little trust for the Republicans either. So,
I have very little trust for me.
yeah. What is trust? I'm starting to wonder. You know, there's a few. I mean, you know. I think as far as congressmen go, pretty much Thomas Massey. That's about it. And I just love Thomas Massey because he just votes against anything that spends money. He's just like, nah, you're spending money. No, we can't
Should
do that.
The government? No.
Yeah, that's pretty much. And, you know, he has literally his house is self-sufficient. He has a completely self-sufficient house. He could completely live off the grid. And he's a congressman. And every time something comes up, like they last week, the whole well, we have this baby formula problem. So let's push through a bill that, you know, through mothers and infant children, we just you know, make sure that poor people can get the formula. Thomas Massey was like, you know, the media was like, look at these senators, and Thomas Massey is one of them. There are these congressmen that voted against this, voted against giving formula to these mothers. And Thomas Massey was, his point was, well, no, I'm not voting for this because it doesn't fix the problem. It just gives formula to a certain group of the country. I'm not voting to spend money on that. He might have voted to spend money on, you know, they're bringing freaking formula in from Europe. Okay, great. Number one, they're calling it Operation Fly Formula. Okay, well, that's a pretty bad name. I mean, I really don't want to give my grandchildren fly formula, but okay.
So, why aren't you embracing the eating bugs thing?
Oh yeah, that's another thing we could get to. But so he's like, praise me because I have a plane load of formula coming over from Europe, like 70,000 pounds of formula. That's a day's worth.
Not even that. There's 3.5 million children the age that need formula, and that's 500,000 servings.
I have a six-month-old granddaughter who's on a specialized formula, and I do believe my stepdaughter is down to like 3 cans and cannot get this formula anywhere except out of state. But if she goes out of state to get
it... Oh my God, you're talking about crossing state lines.
But because of her insurance, who supplements the formula because it's prescribed, if she orders it from out of state, it goes from $50 a can to $150 a can.
Okay, so here's my question. And this is, I mean, okay, I get that, you know, the government spending thing. Because, so we're flying all this formula over when all we would have to do is do a temporary lift of the restrictions against the importation of foreign baby formula, and these European companies could ship it to the United States of their own cost.
Which is better formula.
And more efficient.
It doesn't have the right labeling on it, damn it.
Or we could, you know, be getting a formula from Canada. Just saying.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody can just buy a goat and let their babies nurse off a goat, and that'll work.
I have a meme for that.
I don't want to buy Tom Brady. Oh, wrong goat, my bad.
Sorry. But actually, the formula that my granddaughter uses comes from England, and now it's not here. There's nobody has it, and where she can find it, it's 3 times the price of what her insurance will cover. So, you know, what she's supposed to do, I mean, she's at the moment not working. And, you know, their insurance, I mean, they can't afford $150 every 2 days to feed the baby.
Do we really want, I mean, just, you know, serious question. Do we really want to be giving our children English formula, though? Have you seen their teeth? Just saying.
Well, I would tell you what, this kid was miserable until she got on this formula. And she's 6 months old, and she's doing good with the baby food. And even, you know, I mean, she just may end up being a kid that ends up being off of formula way before she should be.
Oh, speaking of formula, now this is interesting to me because this has never changed as far as I know, at least not since they started, you know, using baby formulas. that, you know, you weren't supposed to put a kid on milk until at least 12 months. Now, all of a sudden, because of the shortage, the FDA and everybody came out and said, well, actually, you can start putting them on at 6 months if they can tolerate it. And I'm like, so you've been trying to make money for the baby formula industry now for 40 fucking years?
Yeah. Well, and here's another thing. So, you know, everybody started posting these things about, you know, here's the recipe to make your own baby formula, right? And then the fact checkers come in and say that, well, this really isn't, you know, Karo syrup really isn't good for the babies. What is Karo syrup? It's corn syrup, right? Go look at the ingredients on a can of American formula. Almost every one of them has corn syrup in it. So why? So if you make it yourself with corn syrup, it's not a good thing. But if you buy it with corn syrup, it's okay.
Well, that's because the FDA has all the corn syrup and stuff regulated to the point where they know down to the milliliter what gets put in there. So when you do it, you might be using too much. I guarantee you that's right. Their justification.
And I'm not going to sit here and say that making your own baby formula is the best thing nutritionally for your child, but if the alternative is your child starving to death, it's probably the best thing. Just saying. It's again, this comes back to it's all about control. They knew about this problem a long time ago. Months and months ago, they knew this was a problem. They knew it was going to be a problem. They didn't do anything about it except for send free formula to the border for, you know, people that aren't supposed to be here.
But I mean, that's the other thing. The story that's starting to come out is apparently there was this was something that was discovered all the way back in 2019. But what nobody talks about is, yes, this was discovered in 2019. This was like a couple of months before the world shut down for almost 2 years. So, yeah, I mean, because everyone was like, oh my God, the Trump administration swept this under the rug. I'm like, no, they were kind of dealing with a lot more important shit as far as they knew at the time. Just saying, I'm pretty sure that it wasn't anything they did intentionally. It was just, oh shit, the whole world's ending. This probably isn't a high priority right now.
Well, the big problem with this whole mess, this baby formula mess, is the FDA. You know, I'm done with.
They're just as corrupt as the rest of the government, though. That's the problem.
The focus on everything needs to be, we need to reduce government. Government's the problem. Can we do it? I don't know. I don't.
I mean, I honestly don't think we can, because the government has insinuated themselves into everything, and that's the part that nobody talks about. You know, this, and I've mentioned this before, but this whole movement to basically forgive student loans, that's not because they're trying to help the people that took out the student loans. You know who the biggest debtor is right now for student loans? The American government. And they're not getting their payments back, so they're wanting to make it go away. And then they're wanting to take that money and spread it out to all you and me who didn't do this shit in the first place.
Yeah, I don't have a degree, you know, and I'll even, you and I mentioned my brother before we went on the air. My brother's got an MBA from George Washington University, one of the best business schools in the country, and he's paid off his own student debt. And I don't think he's as liberal as he can be. I don't think he's on board with this whole debt forgiveness stuff, because he worked his butt off to pay off his student debt. You know, $120,000 of student debt. He worked his butt off to pay it off. I don't think it's fair, not only, especially for people that just didn't even go to college, like me. Why should I have to pay for somebody else's stupid freaking gender studies degree when I didn't even go to college?
Well, and I did
for a little bit until I realized it wasn't for me.
Yeah, I mean, I did the same thing. I went to college right out of high school, got my 2-year degree. That was enough to go into the career field that I wanted. Then when all of the other stuff that everybody already knows about happened, eventually I went back to school and started working on getting my 4-year degree, and I was like, you know what? I don't need it. I already know how to do most of the stuff that I want to do, and I've figured it out along the way. I don't need it, so I just quit because it wasn't worth it. But the thing that nobody talks about anymore is, you know, there's three reasons that college has gotten so expensive. One, everything the government tries to make cheaper gets more expensive. Two, as soon as they figure out that they could make it more expensive, college went from being a specialized place where you go to learn specific things to, we're going to make this an extension of high school, and you still have to have all these things that we sent you to high school to get in the first place because you didn't learn enough when you were in high school. So what used to be a 4-year specialized degree is now a general studies degree for the first 2 years, and then you finally get to do your specialization, and they charge you out the ass to do it.
Well, that's it. It gets to the point where they push, you've got to have a degree. You got to have a degree. You have to have a degree. Well, it gets to the point where, you know, it's going to get to the point where, like, in the field I'm in, if I was trying to get into it now, I might not be able to because, I mean, I see it. You know, I mean, with the company I work for, everybody in office, the company doesn't pull up from within. They're always looking for people with college degrees in the office. And it's like, you get a company that has people that are experienced in the field that would like to move up into the office. And I'm not saying it happens every time with my company, but I kind of start to understand it because, you know, you got all these people out there with degrees and they're looking for jobs, but then you do an outside hire and they come in and they have no idea what we do. They might have an idea on how to sit behind the computer and learn the systems and everything else. But when it comes to what we're doing technically in the field, they have no clue. But it's getting to that point that where companies aren't even hiring from within and pulling people up because, well, they don't have a college degree. We can't put them in this position. But you hire somebody that has zero knowledge in what we do because they have a degree. And they're like, well, we can't justify this pay rate for somebody without a college degree. Well, why not? I mean, I don't care. I like where I am. I like what I do. I run things in the field and I make good money. But I know guys that work for us that say want to have a, you know, a dispatching position in the service department, you know, or a branch manager position, but they won't get it because they don't have a college degree, even though they have way more knowledge than the person they'll put in that position because they have a college degree. And that's where everything is moving. And then you have the people with totally worthless college degrees that are the real problem because they're like, well, all I can get a job doing is, you know, going into an entry-level management position in a restaurant because the degree you sold me won't do anything for me. Well, that's partially your fault because when you went into this liberal arts or gender studies or, you know, lesbian dance theory freaking degree, where did you think you were going to go with it? What did you think you were going to do with that $50,000 degree or $60,000 whatever? You know, what were you going to do with that? All your motivation was is I have to have a college degree and I'm just going to do it with what I'm interested in, not with what is going to get me ahead in the world. And now they're all going, well, I can't pay for my degree. Well, that's not my fault. It's not your fault. It's none of our fault. Why do we have to get stuck with it? And they don't get that. They're like, well, because we got conned. Well, you got conned. I didn't. And like I said, with my brother, yeah, a very expensive degree. But my brother had motivation for his degree and got a degree that got him to where he is now. And my brother's doing very well. You know, if you're going to get an MBA from a great school, or you're going to go become a doctor, or you're going to become a lawyer, that's the thing. Everything else these days pretty much is worthless, but they're pushed into it. It's like a conveyor belt, an upward conveyor belt from high school into college. You need a degree. You need a degree. You don't need a degree. What the world needs right now is electricians, plumbers. You know, I mean, what I do is a little bit specialized, but that's what the world needs.
Well, no, that's what I told my youngest son, because my youngest son was like, I don't know if I want to go to college or not. And I was like, well, what do you want to do? He said, at some point, I want to start a business where I'm one of the guys that goes and picks up diesels that are broken down and hauls them home and works on them. I was like, okay, well, if you're going to do that, why don't you? Because this is when he was just starting high school. I said, the school year that we've moved you into has a great VOTEC program. Why don't you take their diesel mechanic stuff? And I said, that way, at some point, you can start, you know, you come out of high school with a decent paying job, which he has. Little bastard makes more money an hour than I do. But I told him, I said, at some point, if you decide you want to start your own business, at that point, you can take yourself back to college, get your business degree, and figure out how to put the business together that you want. And then you don't have to worry about being broke all the time, because you can do what the rest of us did and work while you put yourself through college, if that's really what you want to do, instead of taking out all this money that you can't afford to pay back later.
Well, yeah, that's it. That's it. You know, my stepson, he was floundering this job, that job, and everything else. And we in our town, I mean, the big center of our town is a Freightliner, is the Freightliner plant, the Freightliner big truck plant, you know. And he was like, Freightliner's hiring. I was like, so go apply. He applied. He loves it. He absolutely loves it. They actually have an overtime program. Like, the normal start time is 6:30. He gets there at 5:30 every day. He's getting 5 hours overtime every week by getting there at 5:30. He's motivated. He's building trucks. And he's making, you know, about $20 an hour, full benefits, better health care than I have. And they put his fiance, they're not even married yet, on his health care. And he's found it, you know, and it just took, he was floundering. Like, he hated every job. He loves it. He gets up every morning. And it's right around the corner. He walks to work. It's like a 10-minute walk. He walks to work every day. And he loves it. He comes home, wore out at the end of the day, takes a shower, is in a great mood. He's making great money. And it's his future. He was like, well, I want to take this college course. I want to do this. And he'd start it and he'd be like, oh, this just isn't for me. I don't know what to do. Well, he found it. Yeah, you're a blue collar guy. There's nothing wrong with being a blue collar guy. He's making more money than most. He's not even 21 yet. He's making more money and has better benefits than most kids his age.
Hey, Ordy, say goodnight and go eat.
Good night, guys. I got to go eat. I came right home from work, right into Toxic, and I'm starving, Marvin. Dad, great to have you back, brother.
Yeah, great to be back, man. Thank you.
Yeah, and I'll be on the other side of the mic in a few minutes after I grab a plate of food.
All right, man. So it is getting a little bit late, and it's been a kind of a long day. At this point, I figured we'd probably keep running till probably about 10:30 your time if you're down, and then we'll start wrapping up and make it go away.
Yeah, we can start wrapping up soon. Laura's going to be home soon. She's going to want to talk to me, and I haven't eaten yet either.
I have. I'm the lucky one. It was my birthday, so my kids brought me takeout before we started doing radio. So yeah.
Oh yeah. I got a nice microwave meal sitting in my hotel fridge ready to get in the microwave.
Doesn't sound very tasty. All right, so final thoughts, man, because like I said, at this point, we can go ahead and wrap anytime you're ready.
Yeah, just, you know, A, it's great to be back and great to let everybody know that I actually do exist.
They still don't believe you.
And it's just, yeah, it's been, I really have missed it. I mean, it just wasn't, I just, and it's still working my butt off, but man, I'm going to tell you what, when that COVID thing hit, especially, you know, business started picking up really good before it, but when it really hit, I mean, there was just like, I kept thinking, man, I would like to, but I never even knew when I was getting home at night, and it was crazy. I mean, it was kind of good. You know, everybody was like, oh, well, yeah, I'm out of work, and I'm working from home or whatever, and I was out, like, leaving the house at 6 o'clock every morning and getting home at 8:30, 9 o'clock every night. You know, so it was good to have the work, but it was rough. But, yeah, hopefully everything stays on track now, because I missed this. Missed being able to just, A, talk to you, and B, get things off my chest. It's fun.
Well, I mean, if I'm being honest, for half the time that you were unavailable, I mean, Wednesday night was pretty much the only one that I would, like, do my damnedest to make sure happened, because for most of the last 2 years, I hadn't even felt like doing radio. I'm just now, really, over the last 6 months, started trying to get back in it, and there's been a bunch of false starts, because at this point, I've had pretty much, I mean, even though I've tested negative every single fucking time, I'm pretty sure I've had every variant of COVID possible. Plus, the last time I went to the doctor, they finally just gave them, said, look, you're testing negative, but everything you're describing leads us to believe that you have what they're now calling long COVID. I said, oh, great. So now that's become the replacement for you have some kind of virus, and we're not sure, so do this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, honestly,
you know, we've got a guy out this week. Out this week. Yeah. We've got a guy out this week that's had COVID, but because family members have COVID, it's like company policy. Okay, well, you're off, and then go get tested, and it's like, oh my God, when's it going to end?
Never.
Just when's it going to end?
Never. I mean,
and I transferred. I'm not working out of our Charlotte office now. I'm working out of a smaller office, which is up in Greensboro, North Carolina. And, you know, I went from an office that has 12 techs to an office that has 5 techs. And so when you lose a tech and then you're sending 3 techs to a job in Virginia, so the service manager in our office has one guy there right now. And he just had shoulder surgery.
Nice.
Yeah, so he's going to finish up a job tomorrow. I was talking to him. He's going to finish up a job tomorrow, and our regional director is going there with him to finish it up with him, because there's nobody else to do it. Fun, you know, and it's because of COVID. It's all because of COVID. Still, it's all because of COVID.
Fun times. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think it's ever going to go away. Because the CDC just rickrolled COVID not too long ago. They did, again, probably something you didn't see because I saw it on Twitter. But they're circling back to, you know, you still need to get vaccinated, this, that, and the other. I don't even remember what it was, but I laughed so much that basically I quote tweeted it and said the CDC just rickrolled Twitter or rickrolled COVID. Because it's like they're looking at it going, never gonna give you up, man, because you gave us all the control.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, I had to get vaccinated to keep my job because I worked in hospitals. So I fell under the whole healthcare thing. And I've had COVID twice and been vaccinated, and the sickest I have been
was the vaccine. Was
second shot of the vaccine.
Yeah.
That's the sickest I've been. Yeah, second shot of the vaccine gave me hives and made every single joint in my body ache for a day or two.
Yeah, they tried that.
I won't do it again. I will not do it again.
They tried that with us because where I work, we would have been federally mandated to do the vaccines for different reasons. I mean, I can't get into much more detail because I promised them I'll never tell anybody where I work because they know what I do on the side. Luckily, right about the same time, they were like, you're going to have to come in and show us proof that you've been vaccinated, or we're going to have to start the termination process. The federal judge said, yeah, no. So they haven't made any noise about it since. So lucky me. I was about to quit my job over it. I really was.
You can thank people like the Daily Wire. You know, the Daily, that whole, when the federal mandate got shot down, it was the Daily Wire's. It was basically Ben Shapiro and Jeremy Boring's lawsuit that was heard at the federal level that went to the Supreme Court and shot it all down. But I mean, with me in hospitals, there was, that didn't affect me. I mean, I had to, for our major hospital system that we work for, I had to have proof of COVID, Hep B, MMR. I had to have a 10-panel drug test, and there was something else. Oh, and chicken pox, just to keep working in the hospitals.
Damn, a 10-panel drug test?
Yeah. That's, I passed.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, what, one last little bit to talk about on the way out, because this is the part that I've noticed people are finally starting to say out loud, and this is something that I've been saying from the beginning. This was nothing but a power grab by the global elites. That's all the COVID pandemic was. They saw a way to basically use fear to implement all these things that were never going to be able to be implemented otherwise. You have people, civil liberties now being trampled almost every single day. The right to body autonomy is no longer even in question because, you know, if you love your grandma, you're going to get a vaccine. But the funny thing is about the same, you know, people that were, you know, my body, my choice for abortion were like, you better get that fucking shot. Really?
Yeah, this test. This was an absolute test. Can we do it? Can we control the world?
And the problem is it worked. And that's why if you've noticed, now the next big thing is monkeypox. They're trying to see if they can get everybody scared again so they can start locking shit back down again. Because
it's going away. You know why it's going away? Because they don't want to tell gay men that they can't do what they want to do.
Well, you know.
It's going away. It's going away.
It's
literally falling out of the headlines real quick. It's sinking real quick.
Yeah, but they'll just find something else.
It's okay to tell kids they can't go to school. It's okay to tell people they have to close their businesses. It's okay to tell people that they have to stay home, that they can't go out, they can't do anything that they love to do, they can't see their family, they can't go to funerals. But to tell gay men that they can't do what they want to do, that's a problem, so it's going away.
We're sorry you can no longer ride the Hershey Highway. Say what?
Yeah, basically, I mean, it's not a slam on gay men. I have plenty of gay friends. It's a media thing. It's really almost the media being bigots. Basically saying, they have no responsibility, so we can't tell them to do this. It's the media being a bunch of bigots. It's the media saying, we can't, oh my God, we can't report and say, well, you know, maybe you should not think about going to this, you know, rave or this bathhouse party or whatever, because you're not responsible enough to do that anyway, so we're not even going to tell you not to do that. It's bigoted. It's the bigotry of low expectations is exactly what it is, and that's the way the media works, and it's the way it will always work, at least legacy media. Not like you and me. We're awesome.
All right, man. Well, I think we should probably start wrapping up to get out of here, because I know you said you haven't eaten anything yet, and I still have some things to do before I can actually call it a night as well. So, just so I'm clear, are you wanting to do every other week right now, or are you wanting to see if you can come back?
Let's start it every other week. But I'm sure we'll move pretty quickly into every week.
Okay, so
I'm falling into this new office, mm-hmm. and it looks like it's going to be good for every week, but especially after, until my buddy Michael gets off his shoulder surgery, I'm going to be I'm basically going to be alternating on call every 2 weeks, every other week.
Okay.
So let's start this off every other week, and within a few weeks, we'll be definitely. I need to be doing this every week.
Okay, yeah, not an issue. It just helps me figure out planning, because, like I said, starting next week, Ordy and I are launching the Rick and Ordy show, because it's with Ordy, it's usually half politics, and then we just kind of go off on tangent talking about whatever. So
that's cool, and I mean, like next week, if Laura's closing, let me know. If you want me to pop in, I'll be more than happy to pop in.
Sure.
Because I do want to start getting back to an every week thing. I really do.
Yeah.
I need this.
We want you back, because like I said, the chat still doesn't believe you're real. They're like accusing you of being some deep fake or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well, and maybe if the Elon Musk deal goes through, maybe I'll think about starting another Twitter account.
We'll see. But yeah, I mean, honestly, if the deal goes through,
I may have like 13 Twitter accounts. Who knows?
I was gonna say you can just put a lot of them in cold storage.
This might all just come back. I don't know. Who knows what's gonna happen?
I don't know. We'll see about the Musk deal, because apparently he's been pulling up the carpet and opening the cabinets, and he's not necessarily finding what he's been liking what he's been finding over on Twitter. Because apparently their bot ratio may not be as low as they claim. Big surprise!
it looks like it's not. And to be honest with you, one of two things is going to happen. He's either going to buy it or he's going to destroy it.
I'm good with either one, if I'm being honest. Yeah. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we've officially given you almost 2.5 hours of radio with almost no commercials, so we're going away now, because I'm tired, and I need to get a drink. We're going to get out of here. Dan, it has been great having you back, man. Let me know what goes on next week, and if we can squeeze you on, because, next week's a red wine night anyway. That's why I was curious if you wanted to do every other or the full month. Because at some point, if you want to move to the full month, I don't think Ordy would necessarily mind going to the earlier show on every other week. Because dude has turned into me. He's got like 12 shows a week. It's funny. And the funny thing is, he's still trying to make the station money even when he's not on the air. Because if he's not on the air, he's behind Circle K. So he's always trying to do something. He's such a giver. Anyway, we're going to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday night. Thank you so much for joining us, especially because it was my birthday, and I really enjoy hanging out with you folks as much as possible, but doing it on my birthday makes it even more special. We're going to get out of here. In the words of Bill S. Preston Esquire, Ted Theodore Logan, be excellent to each other. We'll see you when we see you. Good night, folks.